Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. I want to pray for all those that couldn't be here with us or those that are watching online. There's a lot of sickness going around, and then the snow has started, and I know what that brings too. So I just want to say I'm praying for everybody that could make it in here today, and I'm praying for all those that couldn't today. But we are now in our week three of our series, The Perfect Gift. And throughout this series, we've been looking at the perfect gift that God has given man. It's the perfect gift that we can never thank him enough for, and that is his son, Jesus Christ. The first week, we looked at how God has been planning this gift way before Jesus was even born. We looked at the Old Testament prophets and what they had to say. They foretold exactly what it would look like when God was going to send down his son and what exactly was going to happen around these events of this birth. So we can say, yes, we can tell that this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. And it was told over 700 years before Jesus was even born. Then last week, we talked about where our heart is during this season. So we're talking about how we love to give gifts, and we talk about how there is that perfect gift, and we want to make sure that we give it in this way that we can show the love and appreciation. But there's something else that becomes an obsession around this time of year too, and that is all the gatherings. That's all the parties. That's all the things that people are doing with one another. You know, we end up meeting with family that we usually don't see or don't want to see. You know, that's up to you and God. But it's that time of year where you got to go and do these things. And if you're hosting these things, it becomes this huge stress in your life because you want to make sure that this gathering goes perfectly. So we looked at a pair of sisters named Martha and Mary, and Martha was upset with her sister Mary because Jesus and his followers, they came to her house to eat, and they had to put on this great gathering, and Jesus was there, and all of his people were there. So you're providing food for 13 different men. And she says, you know what? I need help. And so she looks at Jesus and says, tell her to help me. Tell my sister to get this going. And Jesus says to Martha, no, your sister Mary, she's the one that's doing the right thing. She's doing what she needs to be doing. And that was, she was sitting at the feet of God and following him. Mary chose to sit right there at Jesus' feet when he walked in the door. She wanted to listen to every single word that he had to say. Mary was focused on God first and not all the distractions of this world. And this month is a huge distraction. There's so many things going on. But it's not about what we can do here. It's about having a relationship with God. And God gave us this way to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus. And that's why through the month of December, we're talking all about Jesus. I know I do a little different. Normally, a lot of churches talk all about Jesus' birth on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. But we change it up because the gift doesn't end with his birth. It actually starts with his birth. So we got to look at his birth and what came to happen with that. And then we're going to look at what has happened in his life because how he lived here is also a gift from God. And then we're going to talk about his death on Christmas Eve. We're going to talk about what that means, how that is complete, but how that's also not a negative thing, but his death was a positive thing and a gift from God. This week, we're going to be looking at the same thing, the same family that we talked about last week. So we talked about Mary and Martha. It's the same group of people. But we're going to look at who Jesus is through these interactions with these people. We're going to look at how he loved people. Too often, we look at Jesus and we think, yeah, this is God. He's perfect. And you're right. He is God. You're not wrong with that. And he was blameless and pure. But we almost forget that Jesus was also human. He had the same feelings that we have. He had choices that he had to make like we do. He had a life like you and me. Jesus was also human. And we're going to look at that aspect. So today we're going to go ahead and read out of John 11, 1 through 44. John 11, 1 through 44. You heard that right? 1 through 44. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. We have Bibles in the rows for you to follow along. If you do not own a Bible, please take one. It is yours to have. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. I know this is a very large group of verses, and we're actually going to let the Word of God speak. This whole story is so important. and then we're going to read it all and talk about exactly what's happening. So let's go ahead and read John 11, 1 through 44. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light.' After he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" Verse 17, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she said. 'I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.' After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him?' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?'" Verse 38, "Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, 'the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days.' Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" So we start this story with a very sick man lying in his bed, and his name is Lazarus. He is surrounded by his loved ones as he is struggling to hang on to life. And it points out that this is the same family that we talked about last week with Mary and Martha. This family has this special connection and relationship with Jesus. There are multiple accounts of Jesus with this family, and we read that Jesus loved them. It says it right there. Jesus loved them. You may be saying, yeah, okay, Jesus loves all the people. Jesus loves the little children. Yeah. No, that's not what we're talking about here. It's not just that Jesus loved all the people of the world. No, it says he loved them. He loved them as people, as individuals of who they were. He loved them as friends. He loved them as family. He had a special relationship with this family. And since they were friends of Jesus, they actually knew where Jesus was, and they decided to send him a message. They wrote to him saying, Lazarus, the man you love, he is very sick. He is not doing well. The message reaches Jesus while he's with his followers, his disciples. When Jesus hears the news of his friend Lazarus in this condition about how sick he is, Jesus tells his followers, it's okay. Lazarus's sickness will not end in death, and it will glorify God's Son. He knew what was going to happen. You would think at this moment, though, when you hear that someone is sick, they're on their deathbed, what do you want to do? You want to run to them. You want to go to them. You want to be there in that moment. You want to share that time that you can have with them. He heard that his sick friend was dying. And Jesus decides, you know, I'm not going to leave quite yet. Because he knew the time frame he needed to take. So after 2 days, he decides, you know what? We're going to go ahead and make that trip to Lazarus. But it's in the land of Judea. Now, Jesus and his disciples, they've already been to Judea before. So as soon as the disciples hear that they're going back to Judea, they respond with, are you nuts? What are you talking about? We were already there. And they actually come to Jesus like he didn't remember that they were there and they were threatened. And they're like, I don't know if you remember this, Jesus, but they tried to kill you, like with stones. It's not a good way to go. What a silly thing to say to God. Of course he remembers. He was there. He's God. And Jesus responds to his disciples by saying, we have 12 hours of daylight to finish our task and to go and do God's will. Let's walk in the light. And then he says, my friend Lazarus, he's fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. And the disciples here, they took Jesus' word literally, as most of us do. And the disciples actually respond with, well, Lord, if he's just sleeping, he's going to get better. It reminds me of like a mom, just go to bed, sleep it off. You'll be okay. Just wake up in the morning. You'll feel refreshed. It'll be just fine. So they're like, oh, he's sleeping. That's what you do when you're sick. You sleep it off, you get better. But Jesus knew that Lazarus had already died. He wasn't talking about sleeping. So he says it very plainly. He says, no, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. I want you to see what's going to happen next. Let's go to him. So Jesus and his disciples, they make this journey into Judea where Lazarus is. And by the time Jesus arrives, again, he already knows, but Lazarus is dead. He's actually been dead for 4 days already. Martha heard that Jesus was on his way into town, so she went out to meet him on the road. And I can just imagine Martha in the state of mourning she's in. Sadly, a lot of us have been in this moment where we've lost a loved one, where we are mourning over that they're gone, that they're no longer here. This time of year actually brings about a lot of those feelings about those we miss because they're not here for Christmas time. They're not here for the family gatherings. And Martha was walking in with a slow step. She approaches Jesus, and I imagine her looking into his eyes and saying, Lord, if you'd only had been here, my brother would not be dead. She knew that he could heal him. Jesus looks at her with the pain and sorrow in her eyes. He says to her, though, your brother, he's going to rise again. Martha knows that Jesus is Lord. Martha knows that he is the Son of God. She replies, I know he will rise again and he will be with you in heaven. And it's one of those things that we take comfort in when someone dies and we say, yeah, they knew the Lord. We're going to see them again. But you still have that pain because they're gone. You still have that mourning. She understands that too, when she passes from this earth, she's going to see him again. But when that loved one dies, It's not just, okay, everything's better now. So Jesus looks at her, and I can just see him looking right at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me, they will never die. And he looks at her and says, don't you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come into this world. So she had her answer, but she's still in pain. So after this all happens, Martha walks back to where they're staying, and her sister Mary is there. And this is the same Mary that we talked about before, the one that when Jesus came into the house, she sat right at his feet because she needed to hear what he had to say. It's the same Mary that wiped Jesus' feet with perfume, with her hair. This is that Mary that loves and knows Jesus. Martha says, the teacher is here and he's asking for you. So right away, what does Mary do? She gets right up. She goes to meet Jesus exactly where Martha met him. And it was so startling that all the people that were around Mary, they're like, oh, she's running to the tomb, I guess. She's having that moment where she's got to go. No, she heard Jesus was here and she needed to go see him. So she got up and she rushed to him. Mary rushed to Jesus and again, she falls to his feet, crying. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had just been here, my brother, the man you love, I know he would still be alive. At the sight of Mary weeping, Jesus was so moved and saddened. He feels the pain. All the Jews that were there were following Mary, and they were weeping as well. Lazarus was loved by so many, and it's truly a somber moment. I always say the hardest part of a funeral for me is not the person that's gone. It's all of those that are in pain that are left here, missing that person. That's the part that always hits me the hardest. I'm sure you could just feel the sadness in the air. And Jesus looks around and says, okay, where'd you put him? They show him where the tomb is. And they say, come and see, Lord, he's over here. And Jesus is crying. Tears are streaming down his face. The sadness from the people he loves so much and pain is why he's crying. It's not that Lazarus is dead. He knew Lazarus was dead. He talked about it days ago. He knows what's to come. He knows the next thing that's going to happen. But to see these people in so much pain, it says that Jesus starts to weep. So Jesus comes to the tomb, and it's a cave that's cut into the side of a mountain that has been closed with a heavy stone. And Jesus says to them, well, take away the stone. And Martha comes forward and says, Lord, you don't want to do that. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now. He's started to decay and he's given off probably a very bad odor because he's dead. Jesus looks at Martha and he says, did I not say that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? So the men roll the stone away. And Jesus looks up to heaven and says, I love this part. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me. But I'm saying this so those who are standing here will know and believe that you sent me. He's literally saying, this isn't for me, God. I want them to know, though, that I'm talking directly to you, that it's coming straight from you, that they know who I am. I'm speaking it out loud so everyone can hear me. So he's done with his prayer, and he says with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, the Jews who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God that are standing there, I'm sure had two separate thoughts. The first thought was probably, this guy is crazy. He's screaming at dead men to walk again. And then there are others that have heard of what Jesus had done, and they're probably looking in the tomb. They're looking at Jesus. What's going to happen? I've heard of some crazy things. They're looking around. But I bet you Mary and Martha, oh, they knew what was going to happen. They knew who Jesus was. They were probably lit up. I could even see them. Woo-hoo, it's happening. Oh, Jesus said it. He said the words. They know that he's got power over everything. The anticipation had to be so high. like, what's going to happen here? Lazarus comes walking out, and his hands and feet are still wrapped with the linen and cloth that's around his face, his death clothes. And Jesus says all nonchalantly to the people, we'll take off the grave clothes and let him go. He's alive now. What? That's where we're at? You just called that man out of the grave, and he did. And he doesn't smell. I'm shocked. And he just tells them, take off his grave clothes. Let him go. The amazement of seeing Jesus raise the dead with his words alone. They talk about being able to touch Jesus and Jesus able to touch them to heal them. With his words alone, Jesus has power over death. Something that we see as inevitable. All of us are going to die. All of us are going to have an end. And Jesus says, that's not even going to stop me. But we also get to see a different side of Jesus. The human side of Jesus. The Jesus who loves people so much that when they cry, he's crying with them. We have a creator that loves us so much that when you mourn, he's mourning with you. But he's also a God that has no limitations. He has all the power, even over death. He knew that Lazarus had to die. Why? So he could show others how powerful of a God he is. But in the same instance, he was showing how loving of a God he is for all those that were left behind. Such amazing gifts that God gave us here. He's letting you know, I have power over everything. The one thing that's unstoppable on this earth. And one thing you have to remember is he brought Lazarus back to the dead. He's not still alive. Lazarus died again. The only one that has not died again was Jesus. He died on that cross. He rose again. And then he said, bye. And he left this earth. Our God is still alive. Why? Because he has power over death. And then the fact that we get to see how much God loves us, that God wept with us, for us. To be completely honest, if God did not send Jesus down for us in human form, to come here and live here and be a part of this world, imagine how hard it would be to relate to him. We call ourselves Christians because we want to be like Christ. We want to follow Christ. We want to act like Christ. But if you take out this human side, it would be almost impossible to fathom if someone said to you, okay, be like God. What? Where do I even start? What does that even mean? That's impossible. How do I do that? So we say, oh, wait, you know what? I want you to walk like Jesus did. I want you to talk like Jesus did. I want you to love like Jesus did. And that's what we can follow. If you want to truly give an amazing gift to someone this year, give them the gift that God is offering for free. And that is freedom and salvation from your sin. Through his son, Jesus Christ. God is actually standing here with this package saying, take it, open it, it's yours, use it daily. So that's what brings me to my challenge to you this week. I want you to love as Jesus did. Jesus loved these people so much that he would do anything to help them to know the truth about God. And the way he helped them was by showing them that he is the Savior, that he is God, that he can defeat death. Jesus did it all, and Jesus paid it all. All we have to do is share the news about Jesus Christ. I want you to connect with someone. Tell them about your hope in Jesus. And if you're saying, I don't know who Jesus is, find someone who claims that they are a Christ follower, that they are a Christian, and they can tell you their hope in Jesus. Share with all of these people that you serve a God that is all-powerful, and importantly, he is all-loving. I want you to go out and show someone Christ this week. That will be the perfect gift, to let them know that Jesus is real, that Jesus is powerful, and that Jesus is loving. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to learn more about you. Open up our hearts and minds to your teachings, to your leadings, to everything that you're trying to show us. I thank you for sending your son to be born here to show us exactly what that would look like so we have no misconceptions that he is God, that he is the one, that he is the Savior, but also for having him live here, to live on this earth, to feel as we do, to do as we do, to give us an example to follow on how to follow you, God. I pray that we can go out this week, this month, this year, for the rest of our lives, sharing the hope we have in Jesus Christ. That really is the perfect gift. That is the thing that is going to change lives, that will change this world. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. So we'll now have a time of invitation. We talked all about Jesus Christ and what he's done and how he is a Savior. If you're saying, yeah, I want to know more about who he is, or I have questions, we want to talk to you. We want to tell you about our hope in Jesus Christ. We want to tell you about our hope that we have because he came and he was born here. This is real. This is not just a story. This happened. He lived here. If you're saying, yeah, I want to know more about that, during this next song, please stand up and head to the back. We'd love to talk to you. If you're saying, you know what, I understand who Jesus is. I understand what he's done for me. I know that he's God. But what do I do to follow him? What's the next step? The next step is to be baptized. Jesus called all of us to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the water right here to confess with your mouth that you know he is Lord, to go under that water, to come out new, to be washed clean. Or if you're saying, you know what, I need prayer, we get to talk to the God of the universe. As I said before, we get to have a relationship with him. You can talk to him, and he wants to hear from you. You're saying, I don't know where to start. I don't know exactly what to say. Or maybe you just want some help going to God. We'd love to pray with you. You're saying, you know what, I don't really want to look at your face. I want to start to ugly cry because of the things going on in my life. Then write it down. Drop it off. If you're online, send us a message. Let us know how we can pray with you and for you. If you have any decision you need to make today, during this next song, please stand up and head to the back. Or if you're online, just reach out to us.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.